You are listening to On The Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio.
What up, what up? You're listening to the August 22nd, 2017 PGA edition of On The Daily, the RotoViz Radio Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast. I'm Matt Dulkin, on Twitter, at BeardedDFS, and joining me on this episode is John Gamble, fellow RotoViz contributor, at Gamblin' Johnny. This week, we're going to be talking about the Northern Trust Tournament for the PGA Tour this week. We're going to be digging into DraftKings. We're going to look at key stats, weather, and we're going to go through the player pool and pick out some guys we like and some notes, maybe have some odds values for you. And you know what's coming up. Everybody's favorite sport, DFS and fantasy. And there's a ton on RotoViz that can help you be successful this season. Get ready for it with a RotoViz NFL Pass, which you can get right now for 30% off. This discount is for podcast listeners only, and it's available through the NFL Podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools, and it also supports the pod. For the rest of the NFL season, you can also support us by subscribing to and rating the RotoViz Radio channel on iTunes. Do that and you will be eligible to compete against some RotoViz podcasters and writers in a $35 entry best ball league hosted by our friends at the FFPC. The winner of each league will receive a year-long RotoViz pass on top of the cash prize. Go to iTunes, leave a review with your name in it, and then email us at rotovizradio@gmail.com and we'll get you in the league. You can find the work by John myself for $4 behind the RotoViz, behind the paywall at rotoviz.com/PGA. That includes three articles from me, intro, key stats, picks, and then a final one with chalk pivots coming out on Wednesday. Get some game theory in there, get you ready to attack the slate. And of course, you get John Gamble's wonderful model, which is, been doing really well. How are you doing, John?
Doing well. Happy to be back on the podcast.
Always a pleasure. Let's get right into it. So the key stats that I'm looking at this week is driving accuracy, strokes gained tee to green, and strokes gained approach as my main stats. You can add some putting as a tiebreaker, and around the green work doesn't hurt. It could hurt you if you're really bad around the green, because I definitely think it will come into play this week. The course, Glen Oaks in Westbury, New York, is a par set spanning 7,300 yards, consisting of four par threes, 12 par fours, and two par fives. 10 of the 12 par fours are 475 yards or less. So there's definitely not going to be a huge distance advantage on those holes. And obviously four more are the par threes. So there's only, you know, two to four holes that are going to actually really favor the Bombers this week. And with comparisons to Bethpage Black and Augusta, we're expecting a winning score around 10 under. I'm feeling this is going to be kind of a course management week, pick your spots. What do you got for key stats this week?
So, so we have no history on this course. This is the first PGA event played here. So I'm just going to treat it like an average course. So, yeah, all the key stats you mentioned, you know, driving accuracy, distance, especially approach shots, strokes gained approach, those are going to be my key stats, just treating it like an average course. Par 70 layouts tend to favor people with driving accuracy more so than players with driving good driving distance. So I think I'm leaning in that direction. I'm still really uncertain. I don't know how the course is going to play, and I don't want to be overconfident in that. So just treating it like an average course.
Yeah, I definitely think accuracy is, like, you know, really key this week. And it seems like that the general populace is running with the Bomber narrative. which...
Yes, I've heard... I think the same thing, yeah.
I agree. Yeah, so, I mean, if the funny part about it is in the same, you know, articles or podcasts that people are saying you need bombers, they're saying that the comparisons are Augusta and Bethpage Black, which really doesn't make any sense to me. And I think that people were running with a quote that the tournament director, I don't have his name here, but the tournament director said guys will be something to the effect of guys will be hitting driver everywhere out here. Like they're just going to be bombing it around and then just, you know, chipping it up and on, and it's going to be a scoring fest. But I really don't think so. When I look through all the pictures of the courses, just, you know, from a golfer's perspective, you know, I play a few times a week, and I could just see all the trouble you could easily get into. I mean, I remember there was one hole where there's literally a tree directly in the middle of the fairway. And like, there's just a lot of situations where there's, you know, groups of trees around the edge. And if you get behind these trees, you can really get into trouble. There's a medium tight fairways. I think most people are saying that they're medium wide, but I think they're a little tighter than people think they are, just from, you know, my course evaluation that I go through every week, where I look at, you know, I look at the satellite view, I look at all the pictures of the course, and I'm just seeing accuracy. All the trees around the fairways, there's voluminous bunkers all over the fairways. They strategically approach them, place them right where, you know, a lot of guys will be hitting their driver. And then they have another set of bunkers around each and every green. Water will come into play on, I believe, 4 of the 18 holes. The worst is the 17th par 3, where you have water running all along the left side. And if the pin's on that left side of the green, it's going to be deadly, because it runs down with really short grass all the way into the water. So when the pin's over there, whatever day it is, there's going to be a lot of balls in the water on 17.
Yeah, and what the greens are POA, I think, too?
Yes, so they're POA. Mixed with bent grass, apparently.
Oh, mixed with bent grass, okay.
But predominantly yep. POA.
POA tends to, you know, grow towards the water, too, more than some other grasses. So if you got slope towards the water, you got grain in the green going towards the water, it could be, yeah.
Yeah, and this may be a reason to factor putting in a little more. You know, when you have the Bermuda that's sitting really flat, it's, you know, a lot of people can hit their putts. Where I feel like when POA grass comes out, you know, people, it separates the field a little bit more in terms of putting skill.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's harder to read for a lot of players. So maybe there's some edge this weekend that if the crowd is overconfident or overvaluing bombers this week, maybe it's better to overweight accuracy a little bit, just zig when everybody else zags.
I think you're completely right. I love when, you know, my strategy is naturally contrarian, then I don't have to do anything special.
Yeah.
So earlier in the week, I checked out the weather, and it said it was going to rain, and those inches are going down. So now it looks like there's only going to be about 0.04 inches on Wednesday and 0.04 inches today. So I'm not sure if it's really going to be enough to soften up the greens. I don't think so, especially with how hot it is out there. John does the model at RotoViz, and it's a really good model, and we can't go through every podcast talking about what he puts into it, but on the Open Championship podcast, he really went through and gave a detailed description of what he puts into the model and some of the things he weights and factors. So if you want to know what goes into John's model, you should listen to the first 20 minutes of the Open Championship PGA pod. That was the podcast you went over your model, right?
That sounds right, yeah.
Okay, because I remember you did a really good job detailing what goes into it. We are coming off a week with a really weak field, and we're moving to a week that is very interesting, to say the least. DK, they threw a wrench at us. You know, we're used to these guys at the top being the same three guys, whatever the order. You know, Dustin, Spieth, and Rory. Whatever the order, those are always the top three guys. Then you can kind of usually, you know, get a little discount. and get Ricky and Hideki, which is, you know, I like to choose these second tier superstars just so I can fit a lot of other guys in. But look what they did to us. They put Deki and Ricky above those three.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they priced it right this week. Pricing is very tight this week. I don't see a lot of, when you go low down in the salary range, there's some value down there, but up top, these prices are pretty sharp this week. Not an obvious must play. They even priced up Paul Casey finally. This is a tricky week with salary for sure.
Definitely. Coming up, you're going to find exactly who we like at the top range and in the rest of the player pool on DraftKings this week. All right, let's get into who our favorite guys are at the top, down through the whole player pool. So we briefly touched on how the pricing is pretty accurate this week, and you know there's really not any value at the top. So who are you leaning to, and who are you kind of staying away from?
So this week, my model likes Ricky Fowler a lot. Projects him to have the best chance of finishing in the top 10, projects him with the most fantasy points. Which is surprising. I think that's the first time in, I don't know, almost 2 years or so that Ricky Fowler's been at the top when there's been, you know, Spieth, McIlroy, DJ, everybody else in the same tournament. I think I agree with the model, though. He's been playing really well, and yeah, I think I'm leaning Fowler. If I had to take one of the one player 10K price of 10K or more, I'm leaning Fowler.
I'm right there with you. I mean, he lines up, you know, in all the stats as all the other guys tee to green, but he's the most accurate in this top group off the tee, and he still has, you know, good distance. So, you know, you're going to get distance with him, but it's not like it's going to be sacrificed for accuracy. So I'm completely with you. He's my favorite guy at the top. He has the form that you see before a big win. You know, he has a win this season, but not really a marquee win.
He's been close in a lot of tournaments.
Nine top tens this season.
Yeah, a lot. And those are no, he's not playing weak field events where he's getting those top tens.
Exactly. And that can also go into, you know, how his strokes game stats are being accrued. Something that's pretty hard to separate is, you know, some of these guys that are playing every event where they play all the weak fields, their strokes gain stats can be elevated compared to where a guy like Ricky, who's so elite and he's mostly just playing the big events, it's actually a bigger difference than we really realize.
Yeah, and, you know, I adjust for that in my model. Not every stat I have is adjusted for field strength, but most of the main ones are. So, I think that's a reason why Fowler is standing out in the model.
Awesome. And the other guy at the top, I want to have a strong take on Hideki, but honestly, I can't really poke a hole in Deki because, I mean, of these top five guys, he's the second most accurate off the tee. You know, obviously all his recent stats are just dialed in. He's at the right place. So I can't really poke a hole in why you shouldn't play Hideki, but I just like Deki more.
I agree. I think Hideki's a great play. I would not. I can't poke a hole in the case for him either. I agree. I just wonder what his ownership is going to be like. If people are going to flock to him or not, I don't know.
It's really hard. It's really hard to tell because you have, you know, there's the two psychological things. One is, you know, sometimes when DraftKings prices a guy up, internally. In people's minds, they value that player more because he's priced higher. So they think he's a better play. And then there's the other side where people are used to, you know, paying $10K for him instead of 11,400, so they don't want to pay as much. And they say, hey, I can just drop down and get DJ, who I think will gain a lot of ownership this week.
Yeah, it's interesting that he's a 10-8. That's the lowest we've seen him priced in a long time. And yeah, it is interesting to note also that Hideki does have the betting markets place him as the favorite. He's got a, they're giving him about a 9% chance to win. And second is Spieth, just about an 8% chance to win. And then after that, you have a basically a three-way tie, roughly, depending on where you look, with Fowler, McIlroy, and Dustin Johnson, all at about 7% here. So,
yeah. So I want to try to say why you shouldn't play Dustin Johnson. And basically, the only thing I could say is, I mean, his form's coming back around. He's having some decent finishes, but I wanted to go ahead and look at a shorter time span than I usually look at to see, you know, how he's progressing. And I'm still worried. You know, he's ranked 32nd in tee to green over his last 8 rounds, and he should be near the top of any field in tee to green, because I mean, he's the tee to green god. I mean, this is the guy that's, you know, number one in tee to green, and he should be, you know, him or McIlroy. And if you're going to be paying that premium price, I need a guy that's elite now and over the season, which Ricky has and Dustin doesn't. I really think that, you know, his back may still be bothering him, but then, you know, you could say, oh, he has a week off, so maybe that'll help him heal up. But especially with, I think his ownership's going to get really high. I've seen him touted on a few large outlets. But I think I'd rather not.
Yeah, if he's going to be – I could see that. I could see a lot of people flocking to him because, hey, figure these top five guys are roughly all equal. I'll just take the cheapest guy, Dustin Johnson, you know. Yeah, I don't like him if he's going to be the heaviest owned guy out of here. I would not. Yeah, I'd pay the extra $500 and take Ricky Fowler.
Agreed. Then we have Rory. His tee to green stats are still elite. I mean, number one. But I think his 55.45% driving accuracy percentage may be an issue this week. I mean, you know, when you're saying, you know, you're trying to poke holes in guys at the top, you're saying why they won't finish in the top 10 or top 20, because obviously these are guys that should finish hot. And yes. If we're really targeting, you know, the accuracy off the tee and guys are going to be hitting a ton of driver, this could lead to, you know, two or three strokes that may keep him from that top 10 that you really need.
Yeah. He's got some weird missed cuts this year, too. He missed the cut at the Irish Open, which is kind of surprising. He won it last year, right? Or
yeah, missed I think it he did.
Year. Yeah, he's been a little bit – he's got a lot of high finishes, too. It's just he hasn't been super reliable this year. I still love him, though. I mean, he's still a great golfer. I wouldn't – I don't know. If I'm gonna, there's not a lot of holes I can poke in Rory McIlroy's game. I do like him. $10,902 is a good price for him.
It's not like he's gonna be low owned though.
No, it's not.
The DFS community loves him, and I almost feel like he's always not owned.
Yeah.
I haven't played Rory once this year, and I almost feel like it's one of the reasons I've had a really good year because, honestly. People love to play Rory, and yes, statistically, tee to green, he's almost always going to be number one. But, I mean, this whole putter thing he went through a few months, he's still going through. There's definitely something off mentally, I think. I don't know. There's just something not right.
It does seem like he's not 100% into golf like maybe he has been in the past. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I mean, I'm just speculating here, of course, but yeah, I mean, we're really splitting hairs with these guys at the top here.
Yeah, definitely remember that we're splitting hairs here. Like, obviously, these are great golfers, but you have to find a way to separate, you know, who you're going to play and who you're not going to play. So these little small differences, it's just, you know, you got to latch onto something. But so I think that'll do it for us at the top range here. Who are you liking below 10K?
See, this is tough. I don't, like, usually in a given week on the $8,000 or $9,000 range, oftentimes there's a guy just screaming out like a really great value or someone who's underpriced here. But I think most of these guys, they're priced out correctly. Rom is the only guy that sort of stands out at 8,900. So his odds are about 3.5%. He's got about a 3.5% chance to win, which is pretty. So there's a few other Stenson, Justin Thomas, and Koepka are all higher, but they're all priced higher too. So I like Rom a little bit here. I think Husteisen is the only guy that's sort of out of place here. He's overpriced this week. His performance at the PGA just priced him up because of that.
I think they did, but I really like Husteisen this week.
Do you? Yeah, I mean he's my model likes him too. It gives him a good chance to make the cut, decent chance to top 10. It just likes the guys around him a little bit better.
Okay.
And you know, Paul Casey, I played him, I don't even know how many weeks in a row. He's been priced at, 7,800-ish in so many tournaments. Looks like that's over, which is too bad.
I don't think it's too bad. I'm actually kind of happy about it because I'm hoping that people will get off him. But honestly, in his last 24 rounds, Paul Casey is, in terms of this course fit, he's top five. Over his last 24 rounds, he's number one in strokes gained approach. He's third in tee to green over the last 24. And I mean, we know that these, events that he's been playing in are strong fields. And we're looking at this as a second shot course. So yeah. If he's number one in
approach, maybe it's a blessing in disguise.
I really think it is. So you have Rom right here, and nobody is going to click Casey over Rom just on name value. And same with, you have Kuchar right there.
Yeah.
And I actually like Husteisen and Casey. So I'm hoping that Rom and Kuchar, unfortunately, I like Kuchar as well. But I'm hoping that everyone just goes straight to Rom and is like, oh, Casey isn't in this caliber of these other guys. When he certainly is.
But yeah, he absolutely is. Or he might even be above a lot of them.
I would agree. I would put him in between Dustin Johnson and Stenson if I were to price this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. He really has been absolutely one of the best golfers in the world over the second half of the season.
So we kind of skipped over the whole 10K range. I think that's because we both would just rather go down or up, right?
I would rather go down. I think Stenson's overpriced because he won last week. I think Day's he's just too erratic this year. I don't trust him to pay $9,700 for. Justin Thomas priced up a little bit because he won the PGA and said Koepka. That's kind of what I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. Justin Thomas, statistically, he's priced correctly, but I mean, we always have to remember the stats aren't always everything.
Yeah.
But
So I like all those guys. I would just
you're not getting any value on them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so like you touched on, you're not getting any value on any of these guys. But especially Koepka statistically and Day statistically over the season are just not here with these other guys.
No, Koepka's had some really great tournaments, obviously, but week to week just hasn't been quite as good as most of the guys up there. Yeah.
So we expressed our love at the top end of this 8K range, lower end of the 9K. We love Casey, Rom, Oosthuizen, and I love Kuchar. And who do you like below that in the 8K range?
It's the same thing. You're not getting any value on any of these guys. They're just about all priced correctly, I think.
The only guy you're getting value on is Justin Rose.
Yeah, I was just going to say Justin Rose. He's had a little bit of a, let's see, a little bit of a tough run. Like, he hasn't played quite up to his standards. See, so he missed the cut at the PGA, 63rd, which is, you know, at the WGC event, so that's like bottom 10. 54th at the British Open, that's, you know, barely made the cut, more or less. So three, like, not very good finishes. And he missed the cut at the US Open, so. I think that'll probably scare people off of him.
I definitely think so. I'm scared off of him.
And his price is down, too.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Like, I don't know how he's this cheap.
He is cheap.
Like, this is the guy that, like, you know, if you take him, he's going to be under 10%. Even the truthers like me have hopped off. And he could easily come out and win this thing. Like, he has the tools. He's not the most accurate off the tee, but he's 10th off the tee in terms of stroke gain over his last 24 rounds, 21st tee to green. So, I mean, statistically, he still looks all right.
And he's always a great approach guy, always. Always a great second shot golfer.
I think that's what's been failing him. He's only 72nd in this field over the last 24, and we'd expect that to be a lot higher.
Yeah. I hadn't.
Even his around the green game is really good, 24th in the field over the same span, so.
All right.
Yeah, this is like Griot last week. I just really hope he doesn't end up in my lineup, but just knowing who I am, I have a feeling he's going to be in my main lineup. The value is just so hard to pass up.
Yeah, it's interesting to know my model kind of has him rated lower than it has, I think, all season. I have to go back and check for sure, but yeah, my model's sort of picking up that his form has fallen off. So, but long term, I mean, he is a world class top 10, golfer. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Exactly. Like, I still view him as that, and I check his stats, and they're not perfect, but I mean, his recent form, they're good, and it's just there's really no reason not to play him besides a few average finishes.
Yeah. Which can happen to anybody. I mean, there's not necessarily a reason for three mediocre finishes. Like, that can just happen. There's enough randomness, luck, in golf that there's not necessarily a reason. Like,
exactly.
His game might not have changed at all. He just had some bad results.
Exactly. See, that's the thought process that I'm approaching it with. So I think I'm convincing myself with the help of you to play Justin Rose this week.
Right then.
Moving down, I could see an interest in Zach Johnson, but I don't think I'll be going there. Did you want to say something on Zach?
Yes. The model likes Schneider Jans a little bit this week. Which is interesting. Even though he's priced up here, like, if he hadn't finished where he did last week, he wouldn't be 8,100.
No.
So that's interesting. I don't know if I'm on him though.
I love him. Just so much. I just can't play him at this price.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, this is a guy who's priced up because of his recent performance, but I'm kind of starting to think that this is like his ascension to being a better player is Kevin Kisner.
Yeah, right. He's sort of a little, I don't know if you can call him a journeyman, but he has been like a standout golfer.
Yeah, for like, the last
he's
few
been
years.
A good golfer. He's good, but not great golfer.
He's putting it all together this year.
Yeah.
Sorry, I kind of cut you off there. Did you want to say something else?
No. Let's keep rolling.
Yeah, so basically I'm just chalking up last week to a classic, obvious letdown spot after, you know, competing at the PGA Championship, right? He's deadly accurate off the tee with 15th on the tour this year, top 30 in all the key stats this year and the last 24 rounds. He has been pretty hot with the putter at 9th ranked in the last 24 rounds, and that may regress, but I really like how Kisner fits the course. And his tee to green stats support repeatable performances to how he's been playing.
Yeah, I'm just sort of meh on Kisner this week. I don't have a – he's not a bad play, but I don't have a strong feeling either way about him.
Yeah, I think he may actually not – he may be pretty low-owned because people aren't used to paying this price to him. But, I mean, when I look at the stats, he's priced in the right range.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So who are you liking next underneath Kisner getting into the 7K range?
All right. So I feel like the top end of the 7K range is not that great. A lot of – but Mickelson, I'm not playing for 7,900. Haas, I'm not playing for 7,800. Hoffman's a little bit interesting, 79. Kevin Chappell is a little bit interesting, too. I think it gets more interesting the further down you go in the 7K range, though. So I like Duffner a lot here.
Okay.
Simpson, Webb Simpson I like. Garrigus I like. Molinari I like. So basically anybody at 7,600. that's who I'm looking at.
Well, you nailed my favorite play in this range, Molinari. This guy, his statistical form is just incredibly elite. You know, you never think of him as a scorer, but actually he's 20th on the tour in 2017 in birdie or better percentage. His recent stats are just incredible. In his last 24 rounds, he's second tee to green, ninth off the tee, fifth in approach, and 26th around the green. I mean, this is just mind-blowing. He just competed at the PGA Championship, ending second, 24th at the WGC Bridgestone, two very difficult courses. Accurate off the tee, you know, in the season long, I believe he's second off the tee. The course is compared to Augusta and Bethpage, two extremely difficult courses. So if we're expecting a winning score around, you know, 10 under, that's somewhere that Molinari can come through for us.
Yeah, for sure. Molinari was on just a tear sort of early and midway through the season. Then, you know, missed the cut at the U.S. Open and missed the cut at the British Open. But really, outside of those two finishes, he's just played outstanding this year. So, yeah, and, you know, second at the PGA, that's a huge bounce back for him. But, you know, while being priced at 6,800, so, yeah, I like Molinari a lot, and you're getting some value on him this week, down at 7,600.
I agree. Yeah, I can't lie, Garrigus I saw popped up for me on some stats. But I just hit the mental X button.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I'd play Molinari all, you know, definitely for sure over Garrigus. So,
Yeah. So at the bottom of the 7K range, we have two of my pet players, Tony Finau and JB Holmes. How do you feel on them this week?
Yeah, I think you're getting value on both of them. Yeah, especially Finau. It's Finau 7,300. So yeah, I like both those guys. Also interesting to note. Let's see, what are their. So betting markets give them both just above a 1% chance to win this tournament, which is higher than just about anybody else in this price range. So yeah, Ryan Moore is also up there at 7,100. He's got about a 1% chance. So. So yeah, the lower half 7,000 range. Those are like the three guys who look like odds valued.
Yeah, they definitely stand out. I can't even play Tony Finau anymore. Like, it's just at the point where it's like everybody realizes how good his stats are. He's underpriced every week.
He's the new Matt Kuchar.
He is. Right? You nailed it. He's the new Matt Kuchar. Like, everybody plays him every week. And it's like, I think...
And he still does well every week. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so at this point, I'm basically just not playing him at all and just waiting for him to fail, because anybody that's followed Tony Finau for a long time, they've dealt with a lot of pain.
Yes.
Because this guy is, he doesn't always just come through like this. I mean, the guy is live to get a snowman on any hole.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Hit it 360 yards out of bounds, that kind of thing. And then, you know, come back and miss a 2-footer for double bogey.
Yeah. That kind of thing. Especially like with this water here. Like, I think the water, there's going to be balls in the water. You're going to need to be accurate. He's not the most accurate off the tee.
Yeah, I mean, $7,300 is just so cheap for him. It's kind of, it's definitely tempting to play him.
I agree. I think my pivot off of Finau is Brendan Steele. This is how I see Brendan Steele. It's like, he's basically who Tony Finau was earlier this season in terms of like popularity in the DFS community. Like earlier this year, it was Brendan Steele every week. Like he was the guy getting that 20-30%, making every cut.
Yeah, even going back to last year, yeah.
Yeah, and now, you know, he had a few middling finishes. Let's see. I think he missed a few cuts. Yeah, okay. So he missed a cut at the PGA Championship, 24th at WGC Bridgestone, very difficult course, and then two cuts. Before that, though, he's basically, you know, just making all the cuts, playing well, and he's going to be, you know, under 10%, while Finau might be 30%. And I don't see any reason that Finau is a better player than Steele. I could actually argue that Steele is a better player.
Yeah, I think if I'm going to pivot in this range, I like Ryan Moore a little better. Just he had a little bit of a rough stretch. He was dealing with an injury.
He had the back, I guess, right?
Yeah, the back. So it looks like he's back from that, though. I didn't mean pun not intended. So I like him a little more. His odds to win are almost double Brendan Steele. And I think just overall he is a better player. His long term adjusted round scores are better than Brendan Steele's, and yeah, I don't know. I would lean Ryan Moore, although Brendan Steele is definitely a fine pivot.
Okay, I like that call. I don't really see myself going into the 6K range much this week. I mean, there's a lot of good plays. I mean, it's a strong field. There's always going to be a lot of good plays in the 6K range, but I just feel like there's really elite plays in the 7K range. So, I mean,
see two really good plays here.
Okay, go ahead.
Gary Woodland at 7,000. I think he's a great play this week. And Brandon Grace, it's 6,900. I don't know where that came from. That seems like a misprice to me.
I definitely meant to touch on that as well. Thank you for bringing that up. Brendan Grace.
And both these guys, betting markets have them at just over a 1% chance to win. So that's a huge standout in this salary range.
This guy is having an insane season. He kind of does the same thing, you know. He disappears for a couple events, then he comes back and almost wins. I mean,
right.
Miscut PGA Championship. Yeah,
But he's shown that. I mean, he's competed in the biggest tournaments, biggest major, everything. He is sixth at the British Open this year. He could. I mean, 1%, that 1% is a live 1% to win this tournament. I mean, he's shown that he can compete with the best golfers in the world, and it's surprising he's down here with guys like, you know, Jeff Ogilvy at 6,900 and, you know, Vaughn Taylor, 6,900. Brandon Grace does not fit here.
Yeah, and you know what? It seems like he kind of goes overlooked. Like, he's not going to be 5%, but maybe he'll only be 15%.
Right. He's not flashy. Guys don't. His game's not super inspiring, right? He doesn't smash the ball like Finau or Dustin Johnson, and he doesn't have, sink super long putts or anything like that. But he's just really solid. He's just good at everything, and yeah, just. Not the sexiest golfer.
Yeah, definitely if you're fitting in Ricky, Grace can help you do that.
Yeah.
Probably my other guy that I have some interest in that I'm not putting my stamp on, but I want to do a little more research, is Brian Harman. He just seems like he profiles really well for the course.
Yeah, he's a – I don't know. I never have a good read on how Brian Harman's going to do, I feel like. But yeah, he's shown some flashes of really great golf this year. Yeah, it's interesting to see him priced so low. Another guy, Charles right here at 6,900, that's a great value too. Another South African guy who doesn't have like the flashiest game in the world, but...
Who was that?
Charles Schwartzel.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 6,900. He's another guy. He's he's got a similar game to Brendan Grace. Like, he's just not. He's good at everything. Not particularly great or at any one thing. So yeah, down at 6,900. I think he's a good value.
I agree. Definitely a good price for him. He has a lot of upside, for sure.
Yeah, sure.
Is there anyone else that you wanted to touch on?
No, I mean, there's some other good values down here, but nobody that's really, like, screaming out. Like, I don't know, Graham DeLette at 68, it's not a bad play. Kevin Na at 68, not a bad play. Yeah, this is definitely the value range. Like, no one here... has a ton of upside, but there's definitely some good values, good players with really good long-term form that are priced down this week.
Awesome. So to remind you guys, for $4 you can get 3 articles by me: intro key stats, picks, and chalk pivots. And you also get access to John's model, which will help you figure out who's going to make the cut, who he has projected to score the most DraftKings points. And it's a really helpful tool, so I suggest you go check it out. And that will do it for this episode of On the Daily. Thank you, John, for joining me.
Good beer.
Of course, yes, sir. At Gambling Johnny. And I'm Matt Dolkin. At Bearded DFS. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to On the Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio. And special thanks to Randy E. Aguabo for the introduction. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the established RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email onthedailydfs@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @onthedailydfs.